The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers. I'm your host, Samuel Honnold, a refugee broadcasting from Mexico's cartel country from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande. It is February 20th, 2023, and this is your news and information Bible study rock fest. We're broadcasting around the world on shortwave radio to all of North and South America, the Caribbean and the islands of the sea, and the Las Vegas Valley on KKVV 1060 AM, the Gospel Airship. Global war is really ramping up. We're closer than ever to a nuclear exchange between major nuclear powers. And the Lord has seen fit at the 11th hour to send down revival. God, help us to be good stewards of revival. Help us to not lose the glory and offend and grieve your Holy Ghost and cause to depart the angelic presences. Our feature band tonight, a Christian band, is the Orange County Supertones. We continue, as always, to break down the damnable heresy of pacifist Christianity and tip the sacred cows of effeminacy. Well, here we go. Protect your neck. The Supertones strike back. Multitudes came to the Lord Jesus. People paid great prices, went a great distance, tore off the roof to get near Jesus, threw off all their cloaks of dignity to get a touch from the Lord Jesus. And that's fantastic. But there is another type of groupism that the Bible describes. Today on your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, I'd like to talk to you about the groupie-ism that the Lord Jesus reproved. We're in the book of John, and let's go ahead and start in chapter 6, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And now in verse 26, your verse of the day, comes Jesus' reproof, and it is a scorcher. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. All right, a little background. A lot of people don't know that I've done a good deal of hippie ministry. I've been to numerous Rainbow Nationals. There's a whole other language to it. It's a whole other thing. You're even expected to have a hippie skill, which I did not. And so I honed everyone's blades, knives, axes, etc. And I learned a great deal of hippie terminology. And I'm going to share with you the term bliss. What it is to bliss. What it is to be blissing. All right, this is the zoned out, drugged out, stoned out phase where people just sit and stare with their mouth open at the campfire. Blissing is a lot of people's goal in life. When you see a heroin addict strung out on the street, got their hit, got their fix, got quote, quote, well, and they're lying there just zoned out on the sidewalk, that is what blissing is. So back to the followers that Jesus rebuked. They didn't want to be like him. They didn't want to cast off their old life. They didn't want to get rid of their old vocation to work for him. The hippies of Jesus' day may have huddled up and said, Dudes, with this dude on our crew, we could bliss indefinitely. Did you see that? He made bread, like, out of nothing, man. This is the opposite of Elisha burning his yoke of oxen and his plow in a sacrifice to the Lord and then going to follow the prophet, to be the prophet, to pour water on the hands of Elijah, and then be the prophet in his stead to heal the sick, to reprove the kings. So, do you want to go to a revival? Great, but go there to get a battlefield commission in the Lord's army, a commission and a call and an anointing to go out and to serve him and to serve his people and to take his power to a generation. I'm going to do that in the south of Mexico if I can get a ticket within the next couple days. Go to GospelGunslingers.com. Help me out. You'll be blessed for it. A van and a roadmap. Keep my life in a backpack. Coming through your town. Supertones strike back. That's really just the beginning. This song is full of war and violence, and the reason that I play these songs, both Christian bands and secular bands and movies, the reason we do that here on Living by the Sword is so that you can see that these beliefs are ingrained in our society and are held by numerous other believers and Christians and just the broad spectrum of our society. We were talking about Carrie Lake coming from my hometown, the Quad Cities, coming from, born in Rock Island, and then moved over to the Iowa side. And one of the outlying smaller towns in Elbridge, Iowa, is where Carrie went to high school. Did you know that David Morrell's First Blood, the original movie with the character of John Rambo, was required reading during that time, during the time that Carrie was attending North Scott High School? This is Americana, and the reason that I put it out there for you, the reason that I include these in the broadcast, is so that you can see, because a lot of people would like to sideline me. Listen, when I started these teachings, the GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, when I began it, I lost a lot of friends. I went head-to-head with a lot of my mentors. I put a fleece before the Lord, which was mind-blowing. I asked the Lord to do something that was totally impossible. Before I locked horns with the entire grabastic world of limp-wristed, effeminate, lisping preachers. So yes, I confronted the entire religious establishment to bring you these teachings, but I'm not the only one. It goes back to our founding fathers. And even through the decades and through the years of Americana and through the years of even Christian artists, Christian preachers, we see them throwing down little clues. Just like Leah's father, you hit, we hit back harder. Like Huss and Steven, I'm not afraid to be a martyr. That is the Orange County Supertones, tonight's feature band. And we're going to wrap it all up with something from outside of the Christian music genre. It's going to be another ska tune, but it's going to be a secret until the end of the show. So make sure you stick around for the Latin America War Report and for our final disc we spin. And I think you'll be surprised. But the theme is the same, somebody ready to use force. And the physical force in this Supertones tune, it's just so clear. Your cranium's cracked from my Sholin attack. Protect your neck, Supertones strike back. If you watch the video, it's about the prison planet. It's about a mental institution. It's about people being swept away and put in a FEMA camp because they're believers. And these guys talked about it, sang about it in 1997. Can you believe it? After a Bible verse here, we're going to let this OC Supertones continue and tell about how they're apologetic warriors, how they have a generation to defend, how they live in the underground. To the underground we descend. They lay into casual Christianity. Oh yeah, I got a beef with the fence sitters. Tares among the wheat, the cop-outs to quitters. Cut from the branch, fruitless, no good, only one use, and that's firewood. And how's it start? Live and undrugged, 6 years and counting. This is a song about getting clean. This is a song about the Lord Jesus Christ freeing this man from a serious addiction. Heroin? Who knows? A guy like that has zero patience for the lukewarm. Never going back to the darkness I was damned in. Flick a match on Babylon. Burn, baby, burn. We all know that the Bible says that Babylon will burn, that the Roman Empire, the world, the global harlot empire, the world will burn. But this guy says he's ready to do it himself. Now that's a gospel gunslinger. Got enough gasoline and plenty of matches. Finally I'm free and I shake off the ashes. This is the creed of the gospel gunslinger. This is the creed of Rambo. It's not enough to escape. You gotta go back and tear down the castle that keeps the other captives free. You've got to do it. It's the American way. So that tune, Unite, is coming up right after this Bible verse. Raise me up that I may requite them, says the psalmist. Actually, a psalm of David this time. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. We're in the 41st psalm, and your verse is verse 10. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Okay, that's great. That sounds very Christian. Be merciful, Lord, be merciful. But what is the psalmist really asking? What's David really asking? That the Lord would have mercy on him and raise him up so that he can take the battle back home to the enemy. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. Now, this is also a messianic psalm. And this has a lot of prophecies in it that would happen to the Lord Jesus. It says here, yea, mine own familiar friend, speaking of Judas, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But David also knew that betrayal of people close to him, completely turning on him and trying to take him down. Mine enemies speak evil of me, verse 5, and they wish death on him, on the psalmist, and also on the Lord Jesus. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? It's been a glory and an honor on my life to survive years of this hatred, years of the false revivalists that shut revival out of some of the most notable towns where great moves of God have happened, and now there's a whole cluster of guardians. Actually, many of them are now dead, but for years there was a cluster of guardians that hated revival, hated moves of God, hated the Lord's humble servants that worked in the lowest of professions and just wanted God to visit the place. And they, just like here in verse 5, spoke, when shall he die and his name perish? They want the righteous to die. But sometimes the Lord's humble warriors just will not cooperate and die. Verse 2 says, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. So the gospel gunslinger has to exercise his will to survive, his desire to rise up, and it's not wrong to pray this. O Lord, raise me up that I may requite them. And of course, this psalm being messianic, Why did God raise the Lord Jesus up? According to this psalm, he raised the Lord Jesus up so that the Lord Jesus could take the keys of death and hell, so that he could destroy the works of the devil, so that he could requite the wicked. And if you don't know, requite is just another word that means to repay or to revenge. Exactly what happened in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 2 Samuel 10:4. David sent servants to his friend Hanun, the king of the neighboring Ammonites. And I want you to think what a small miscalculation can start a bloody, bloody war. The princes of Ammon counsel in verse 3, hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? And then he commits a major diplomatic insult to the children of Israel. Verse 4, this is your verse of the day. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Wow, just like a stroll in a hospital garment, they had their backsides in the breeze. Verse 7, and when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. His first concern, of course, was for his diplomats in verse 5. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. Even when the Hebrews were in Egypt, it was an offense and an affront to the Egyptians that the Hebrews wore beards. The Egyptians were clean shaven, and the Hebrews kept cattle. They were shepherds by trade, something that the Egyptians found despicable. We remember that the Lord Jesus had his beard pulled out during his mocking and scourgings, the Romans also being a people accustomed to going clean-shaven. So David gets his men's backsides out of the breeze, they stay in Jericho, and they are supposed to tarry in Jericho until their beards be grown, until they can face the public, again in the customary way that Hebrews do. Those Ammonites should have been ashamed that they advised their king to be so rash with the leader of a foreign power, of a possibly hostile power. And I would advise the leaders of these United States to not be rash and brash and brusque with the leaders of foreign powers nuclear armed. In that war, Israel was the good guys. They lucked out, the Lord helped them, and they won. But in a later time, they themselves were taken away captive and in the nude. Isaiah 20:3 says, "And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt." A secular band, another third wave ska band that's going to sing to us about self-defense and self-government. Now, this is what they call a secular band. Oh, it's a secular band. And all that really means is they don't proclaim to be a Christian band and limit themselves to the Christian market. Yet the name of the tune is Santeria, and it opens with, "I don't practice Santeria. I don't got no crystal ball." Isn't it amazing how the heathen how people who are not professing believers will come out and make a more clear profession of faith, a more clear denunciation of sorcery and idolatry, even than the believers do. The believers sit around at the Chinese restaurant reading one another's fortune cookies, and here's the quote-unquote secular band, and they open their tune with, "I don't practice Santeria. I don't got no crystal ball." The band is sublime. And after that denunciation, they go on to tell about how there's adultery and how they are raging mad about it. This pacifist heresy within the Christian church has gone way beyond turning the other cheek. People are turning out their women. They're turning out their children. They allow their children to be misused in horrible and unspeakable ways, and it's mainstream right now. But here's the secular band saying that he's got his brand new 45, and he's going to go get Sancho, that is the adulterer that violated the sanctity of his house. So on terrestrial radio, we will go out with Santeria by Sublime. If you're listening on shortwave radio or on the internet, you will get the uncensored, no-holds-barred commentary segment after Sublime. That is where I use the liberty of shortwave radio to tell you what I really think about world events. But I'm going to tell you one more thing that I really think right now for God and all the world to hear. I have researched extensively mass shootings and especially church shootings, being a preacher, and in my experience, before a pivotal event, all mass church shootings had one thing in common. There was adultery involved. There was adultery or love triangles, very often including the clergy. The change happened with Dylann Roof, which was highly billed as a racist event, and Dylann Roof, I believe, actually said something to that extent. Of course, I don't really believe his testimony. This is the typical 19 or 20-year-old incel wound up on psychiatric care on SSRI drugs and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Very much the CIA mass-produced Manchurian candidate that has so swayed the public narrative and taken away the right of an American to rampage in the event that there's a total breakdown of law and order, in the event that justice does not exist, in the event that he or she is the victim of unspeakable crimes, the chief of those being adultery, a crime which biblically carries the death penalty. Biblically, the woman also should die. But here Sublime is going to sing about how if Sancho, that is the adulterer, knows what's good for him, he best go run and hide. In the news, the Netherlands, Los Países Bajos, has closed the Russian embassy and expelled Russian diplomats from the Netherlands, along with closing their trade mission. This is yet another indication that global war is on the horizon, that it is impending and looming, and that tensions are rising with Russia, a nuclear power that did not need to be provoked, and against whom all provocateurs must cease and desist immediately to avert nuclear war. Z101 Digital reports that the Dominican Andreina Martinez won second runner-up as a finalist in the Miss Universe contest. It appears that last year's Miss Universe, Andrea Meza, the beautiful Chihuahuan, will be the final true Miss Universe in a contest unadulterated and uninfected by transgender competitors. Z101 Digital also reports that 5 soldiers in the Dominican military, as well as 9 civilians, have been arrested in a human trafficking probe. The Dominican Republic shares with Haiti the island of Hispaniola, and as such is a convenient debarkation hub for Haitian migrants to make their way to Mexico en route to the United States. In Mexico, Morena continues its march, as does the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar. Senatorial candidate J.R. José Ramón Gómez Leal has won in preliminary counts with 71% of the vote in northern Tamaulipas state, winning for the Morena party the Senate seat occupied by the deceased Faustino López. On Mexico's Pacific coast, governor of Baja California Norte State, also representing the Morena Party, Marina del Pilar, credits the Morena government with the peso's strength. She states here in MexicoNewsDaily.com that the Mexican super peso is continuing to gain strength and that the economic policy of the federal government, that is the Morena government, is yielding excellent results for the benefit of all. I reported on the Pesos March 3 weeks ago at gospelgunslingers.com. You can hit the subscribe star button to go to my blog and read my...
Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad, pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges?" In 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world, or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something? Someday, very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
The world is on the brink of war, and it seems it gets hotter every single day. We really have to work to accentuate the positive and to look at the humanitarian side of world events, where we all work together to save a few lost souls. And the Mexican army search dog, Protio, was doing exactly that in Turkey when he lost his life. His remains have arrived on the national territory on board an aircraft of the Mexican Air Force. This subject is close to my heart because I have trained and operated air-scenting search and rescue dogs to include the responses to Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. A nation where earthquakes are common, Mexico has developed rescue organizations both within the Sedena and civil organizations like the famous Topos of Tlatelolco, the Moles of Tlatelolco. After the 1985 earthquake, they had no training and no equipment, but only the huevos a ir donde los demás no quisieron. With this boldness, they went into debris, into tunnels, and damaged buildings that could collapse at any moment. They saved many lives in that event and evolved into a rescue organization of first class in the world. Protio had previously deployed to Guatemala on a humanitarian mission in 2015 after landslides struck the neighboring nation. In 2017, he worked in Chiapas, responding to a similar disaster. In 2021, Protio went to Haiti to rescue victims of a terrible earthquake, and in 2022, he was lent to the city of Oaxaca to search for survivors in the wake of Hurricane Agatha. Protio perished due to exposure in the snowy disaster zones of the nation of Turkey. He was beyond his normal working age, being 9 years and 7 months old at the time of his death. The German Shepherd race generally works until their 7th birthday. MSN.com calls Carlos Villeda the human companion of Protio. In the industry, we would call him Protio's handler. Mr. Villeda and Protio pertained to the 1st Brigade of Military Police located at Military Camp No. 1A, Mexico City. Proteo will need a replacement, perhaps a puppy, out of Logan, el famoso perro chilango, the most famous dog in all of Nezahualcóyotl, famoso por ser el perro del barrio y el perro cinta negra. After this verse, I'm going to play you your final Supertones track of the evening tonight, which is about somebody losing their life on the mission field, on the battlefield, standing up for their country, standing up for their family, standing up for their faith. It's very easy to lose one's life, as Proteo has reminded us. There's a peaceful and gentle and very militant way that Christians do this. It's part of our faith and our confidence in everlasting life. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. I have a lot of haters around. This is Pastor Sam with your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, Psalm 34:21. So, haters are going to hate, and haters can hate. They have that liberty. Their tongues are their own. All right, but God is going to weigh in. There's going to be a consequence. And this is it. Evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. A lot of people think that it's no problem to hate, and especially to hate like Cain hated Abel because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. It's all right here in 1 John 3, starting in 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. The very first murder in the Bible, this is how it happened. Somebody was hated because he did the will of the Father, because he was in right standing with God, because he demonstrated integrity and an upright life and a better way. Just like I do in Mexico's cartel country, and let me tell you, it gets on everybody's nerves. Well, guess what happens to those who hate the righteous? They shall be desolate. And here in the 140th Psalm, a verse that we've looked at before, verse 11, let not an evil speaker be established in the land. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. When people are violent without a cause, when murder rises up in their heart to slay the righteous, evil is going to hunt that guy. Just like in today's verse, it says, evil shall slay the wicked. If you walk uprightly and people hate you for it, feel free to take comfort in these psalms. Verse 5 of Psalm 140, the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Do you know what it's like for people to set traps in your path? Well, just go up, make a stand for the Lord, and you'll see it happen. This is where we then see those who dig pits to fall into the pit that they've dug, those who roll a stone for it to roll back on them, and them to be caught in their own devices. As we, the righteous, do according to verse 13, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. That's exactly what my friend Leonard Kaiwa did when he was in Kampala, Uganda. The Lord said, gather my people to worship me. Some would say that a worship fest is no kind of revival, but this is what drove the wicked and the evildoers out of Kamwokya, the darkest part of Uganda's capital city, Kampala, in what some have called darkest Africa.
will be judged tonight. Surely I'm a little scared tonight. Surely now the sheep and goats are split upon the threshing floor tonight.
Thinks they're going to rock up on the revival and just bliss needs to keep in mind the gospelgunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 1 Peter 4:17-18. Really, this entire passage, 1 Peter 4 and 5, because this is where the warning comes. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is out there on the hunt, looking to get you, and especially waiting for a spark of revival. Nothing else gets him so in a stir as when there's a glimmer of revival. 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Yeah, you're supposed to have your drawers on, your big boy britches, your loins girded about. You're supposed to have your armor on and be ready to fight that lion like a young Maasai tribesman who knows that unless he jumps 4 or 5 cows and unless he fights a lion with a shield and a spear and lives to tell about it, that he's not allowed to even get married. Boy, have we missed some rites of passage in our American society. And the other thing that people miss when they want to bliss, an actual sign that was hanging on the tree at Rainbow Mountain said, wanted, fire troll, full-time gig, no bliss ninnies. And a bliss ninny, of course, is someone who's given to blissing, who sits around doing nothing a lot of the time. A person who cannot be relied upon. The maker of this sign was tired of people coming around to tend the fire, smoking up all their herb, and not doing their job, and being caught lying down again and again. And that's what your verse of the day is about. Let's read it. 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. A person ought not to go to the revival if they don't want to be judged, if they don't expect to have an encounter with the prophetic manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God, if they don't want the secrets of their heart to be laid bare, if they have not yet examined themselves, because judgment will begin there. The roaring lion is there. That's one judgment of the crucible of fire. They will have a baptism of fire and fight in the evil one for the first time when somebody goes into a seizure right there in the house of God. Let's continue. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? And one more thing. The Spirit of the Lord has told us old people not to despise youth, but the youth needs to not despise eldership. This continues 5:1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Then feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof. Elders will oversee. Now for the big reveal. Who is the mystery band? The final band, a secular band, another third wave ska band that's going to sing to us about self-defense and self-government. Now, this is what they call a secular band. Oh, it's a secular band. And all that really means is they don't proclaim to be a Christian band and limit themselves to the Christian market. Yet the name of the tune is Santeria, and it opens with, "I don't practice Santeria. I don't got no crystal ball." Isn't it amazing how the heathen, how people who are not professing believers, will come out and make a more clear profession of faith, a more clear denunciation of sorcery and idolatry, even than the believers do? The believers sit around at the Chinese restaurant reading one another's fortune cookies, and here's the quote-quote secular band, and they open their tune with, "I don't practice Santeria. I don't got no crystal ball." The band is Sublime. And after that denunciation, they go on to tell about how there's adultery and how they are raging mad about it. This pacifist heresy within the Christian church has gone way beyond turning the other cheek. People are turning out their women. They're turning out their children. They allow their children to be misused in horrible and unspeakable ways, and it's mainstream right now. But here's the secular band saying that he's got his brand new 45, and he's going to go get Sancho, that is the adulterer that violated the sanctity of his house. So on terrestrial radio, we will go out with Santeria by Sublime. If you're listening on shortwave radio or on the internet, you will get the uncensored, no-holds-barred commentary segment after Sublime. That is where I use the liberty of shortwave radio to tell you what I really think about world events. But I'm going to tell you one more thing that I really think right now for God and all the world to hear. I have researched extensively mass shootings and especially church shootings, being a preacher, and in my experience, before a pivotal event, all mass church shootings had one thing in common. There was adultery involved. There was adultery or love triangles, very often including the clergy. The change happened with Dylann Roof, which was highly billed as a racist event, and Dylann Roof, I believe, actually said something to that extent. Of course, I don't really believe his testimony. This is the typical 19 or 20-year-old incel wound up on psychiatric care on SSRI drugs and serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Very much the CIA mass-produced Manchurian candidate that has so swayed the public narrative and taken away the right of an American to rampage in the event that there's a total breakdown of law and order, in the event that justice does not exist, in event that he or she is the victim of unspeakable crimes, the chief of those being adultery, a crime which biblically carries the death penalty. Biblically, the woman also should die. But here Sublime is going to sing about how if Sancho, that is the adulterer, knows what's good for him, he best go run and hide. In the news, the Netherlands, Los Países Bajos, has closed the Russian embassy and expelled Russian diplomats from the Netherlands, along with closing their trade mission. This is yet another indication that global war is on the horizon, that it is impending and looming, and that tensions are rising with Russia, a nuclear power that did not need to be provoked, and against whom all provocateurs must cease and desist immediately to avert nuclear war. Z101 Digital reports that the Dominican Andreina Martinez won second runner-up as a finalist in the Miss Universe contest. It appears that last year's Miss Universe, Andrea Meza, the beautiful Chihuahuan, will be the final true Miss Universe in a contest unadulterated and uninfected by transgender competitors. Z101 Digital also reports that 5 soldiers in the Dominican military, as well as 9 civilians, have been arrested in a human trafficking probe. The Dominican Republic shares with Haiti the island of Hispaniola, and as such is a convenient debarkation hub for Haitian migrants to make their way to Mexico en route to the United States. In Mexico, Morena continues its march, as does the Mexican peso against the U.S. dollar. Senatorial candidate J.R. Jose Ramon Gomez Leal has won in preliminary counts with 71% of the vote in northern Tamaulipas state, winning for the Morena party the Senate seat occupied by the deceased Faustino Lopez. On Mexico's Pacific coast, governor of Baja California Norte State, also representing the Morena Party, Marina del Pilar, credits the Morena government with the peso's strength. She states here in MexicoNewsDaily.com that the Mexican super peso is continuing to gain strength, and that the economic policy of the federal government, that is the Morena government, is yielding excellent results for the benefit of all. I reported on the peso's march 3 weeks ago at gospelgunslingers.com. You can hit the subscribe star button to go to my blog and read my article for free about how the dollar had suppressed the Japanese yen, the Deutsche Mark, the German Mark, the British pound, and other great currencies of the world. Yet, the Mexican peso had put the greenback on the ropes and was pounding it relentlessly. Currently, that pounding continues, up 5.8% since the beginning of this year. Mexico News Daily comments it cited higher inflows of money from export revenue in concurrence with my commentary from weeks ago. Now trading at 18.33 pesos to the dollar in international markets, the peso has reached its highest point in 5 years. This is great news for the Mexican nation. It's a little bit poor news for me, because if you send me a dollar, I only get 18 pesos, whereas not long ago, I got 23. So please do send me a dollar, but instead of 100, make it 125, so then I can buy the same amount of beans and rice as before. The Argentine peso, however, buys no beans and rice at all. It has pierced the symbolic barrier of 200 Argentine pesos per U.S. dollar, and that's the official count. On the black market, which is unregulated, the rate is 377. 5 years ago, when I was in Buenos Aires, their peso traded at 17 per U.S. dollar. Now it's less than one-tenth of that. The Argentine peso has lost all of its value due to the socialist policies of the Fernandez government, and now their only hope is to be saved by a larger socialist economy like Brazil or China. That from Merco Press. The outlet also reporting that Colombian President Gustavo Petro has been officially banned from entering Peruvian territory and declared persona non grata in Peru by congressional act. I still hold out hope, and I continue to pray that Gustavo Petro will prove to be one of the great patriots coming from the left side of the aisle, that he will put his nation first, that he will not be a stooge for China or foreign powers or the socialist international. But at this point, Peru, one of the wobbling final democracies in South America and under attack by invaders from Bolivia, supported by Evo Morales' MAS party. There is significant danger in Peru that one more hostile neighbor could topple the struggling government and cast the nation into chaos. A bit of good news from Merco Press. The U.S. Coast Guard cutter Stone arrived yesterday in Uruguay as part of her South Atlantic tour to reduce illicit maritime activity and reinforce the 1953 Mutual Defense Treaty between the U.S. and tiny Uruguay. God bless you all. I'll see you next week. podcast, I am on my way to Chiapas State, the jungles of the south of Mexico, where you can literally be killed and eaten by a man-eating crocodile in the waters near Tuxtla Gutierrez. And from there, we'll be going up to San Cristobal de las Casas and meeting with numerous pastors, many of them indigenous pastors, homegrown pastors that preach in their own little mountain villages and jungle villages. Aside from growing the best coffee in the world, they preach in Indian dialects like Tzotzil de Chenaló. I worked 20-plus years ago in Chiapas when the final Indian Bibles were being translated into the languages of Tzotzil, and had sharp confrontation with the Catholic and globalist-backed EZLN, the National Liberation Army, so-called, of the Zapatista movement. It's a misnomer. They did not espouse the values of the Mexican hero Emiliano Zapata, nor were they seeking national liberation, but rather national subjugation, like every communist narco army. I forget whether that year there were 18 or 19 pastors killed. I actually preached in Acteal, where the worst massacre of the era occurred. I preached in that very church in Acteal. I was also held captive by the Zapatista National Liberation Front. I undusted my feet against the leaders of that movement and denounced it before escaping. So that's where I'm going, to hang out with the indigenous pastors. Please think about sowing a seed. Financially, you can do that online at gospelgunslingers.com. I consider these pastors, though small of stature, to be titans of the faith, and many of them operate very strongly in the miraculous and in gifts of healings, and know the Word of God intimately, as they have to lay the foundation in new believers orally, as Jesus and the apostles in the first century did. Maybe I'm prejudiced, but I think Mexican Oaxacan and Chiapas coffee is the best in the world, right there with American Hawaiian-grown Kona coffee. But you have to be careful, because 20 years later, the communists are still growing coffee and selling it to American patriots. If you buy InfoWars Patriot Blend coffee, you are supporting the very communists that personally held me hostage, kept me captive in their head village of Polo. And I'm really disappointed that Alex just will not stop doing that. This is an insurrectionist movement. It's reinvented itself as an Islamic Liberation Front, if you can even believe that. And they ran the female witch doctor Mary Chewy for president against Andres Manuel. Of course, she was defeated and had to go back to her day job spinning hexes. I would advise you to get your high-grown, hand-picked Chiapas coffee from hopecoffee.com. Real Christian coffee growers, real Christian villages, and you're supporting taking the Word of God to those villages in Oaxaca, Chiapas, Honduras, Guatemala, and other points south. I don't gain anything from your purchase at hopecoffee.com, but they are my friends, and I know the people involved, and I sure have drank a lot of it, and it is mighty good. Roasted and ground, darker or lighter, according to your preference. Would you pray today for the people of Chiapas? This is one of the states that borders Guatemala and where the Haitians and migrants from around the world are flooding in, breaking the borders, beating up National Guardsmen. These people have really struggled for their freedom in the midst of great confusion. There's so much confusion under the Iron Curtain that's over South America today. Ukraine's defense minister is calling for the invasion of Russia. The British government is off the rails, declaring classical literature to be terrorism. Draw near to God, people of the Americas. These are uncertain times.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.